Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, one of the things that I've realized as a parent, you get really emotional about your kids. Man, baptism, just simple conversations. One thing I've learned is that there's a beauty in the way a five-year-old asks questions. Our five-year-old Claire is right at that point, where she asks a lot of questions. She's starting to learn words, but she doesn't know exactly what they mean. But she'll use those words, and she'll throw out some sort of question. So about 3 weeks ago, she was learning this word, opinion. And after a church service, I had finished sharing a message, and I gave the children's message. We were at home kind of relaxing Sunday afternoon, and Claire said this, after church, "Papa, do you have a lot of opinions?" And I was actually pretty stunned by that and a little defensive with that question. I don't share my opinions. I share God's word at church. It's a very serious thing, Claire. And how exactly do you know that word opinion, Claire? And before she ever answered that question, she launched into another question, which was this: where does God's word come from? It was a loaded question. I was very serious in answering that. It comes from the Bible. You know that book that we read at church and that we read at home? It's very important that we read the Bible. I was really defensive and very stern in my replies. Then finally it came full circle. Claire finished off her series of questions with this one. Does the Bible have a lot of opinions? That's a loaded question. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And before I gave an answer, I realized, man, if I go really deep with this, it's probably not going to help her out that much. But I came to a realization of where my five-year-old is. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a rare thing, where a child asks questions. It's a sense of curiosity. It's a sense of discovery. It's something that's very precious. Are we good with that, with the questions that we ask as adults? I don't think so. I think as adults, we lose that quality. When asking tough questions in a way that's with an open heart to learn more. As adults, what I've found is we do typically one of two things, two extremes. Maybe you can relate to this. And they can be somewhat harmful. As adults, we oftentimes raise our questions to trap somebody. You laugh. Have you ever done that? Raising a question to get them so that you can make a point and win an argument. That's Herod. In our gospel text from Luke chapter 13, you see Herod's curious about Jesus, and he's asking a lot of questions. So are the Pharisees and Sadducees. They go out to find Jesus. And they ask these questions that at first glance seem kind of innocuous and like they're just trying to find out who Jesus is. They are not. They're trying to set a trap. Herod asks questions of Jesus in Luke 23, verse 9. And the text says that Herod asked question after question to Jesus right in the midst of this trial. Herod had some really good questions that he was probably lobbing out to Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us what they were, but I'm going to fill in the blank. I think this is what Herod was saying. Jesus, was it about a week and a half ago that you raised a man from the dead in Bethany, about 5 miles away? Tell me about that, Jesus. Maybe Herod asked this question. Jesus, did you walk on water? How is that possible? Jesus, have you come to take over my reign here? Is that why you're here? Herod did not ask questions with a childlike curiosity to learn and grow. He went to set a trap. You know, we do that as adults, and there are some really tough questions to ask these days. I get asked them as a pastor, often by people. They're even raised in the church, and they're good questions to ask. Here's a couple of them. If there's so much dying and killing in the Old Testament, and God is about love, how is that possible, pastor or other members of the church? How is that possible? That's a really tough question. Here's another tough question. The church history has so much abuse in it and so much things like the Inquisition. How is that compatible with God's love? That's a tough question, a good one to ask. But these questions, as well as so many other of the other questions we ask, are oftentimes not given with a childlike quality. They're given to trap people. And we do that so often. Not a genuine heart to grow and to learn. And as adults, we do that. We follow the example of Herod from our text and all throughout the Gospels. We lob out questions to trap people. Well, you know, there's another thing that we do with adults with the tough questions in life that is equally harmful. We sometimes just steer clear of the tough questions. Do you ever do that? Just to play peace? Imagine at the Thanksgiving Day table, gathered with all your relatives, and you bring up this question of your relative who's no longer in the church. Well, why exactly have you changed your belief, brother? And then underneath the table, your spouse kicks you. And suddenly, the conversation switches to the sports, the game going on TV. And then later in the conversation, you ask again, well, why is it that you don't follow what mom and dad taught us when we grew up? And then the kick comes from under the table on the other foot. And the topic goes back to the weather. We have a propensity these days to stay away from tough questions, don't we? Lobbing them up. We stay on safe topics to stay away from growing or learning. I want you to know this. The Christian church grew, of course, by the Holy Spirit, but it grew out of tough questions being asked. And we need to practice it here in the church, but with a childlike quality. Think about the book of Acts. How did the church grow in the book of Acts? Was it a pastor that stood up front with his vestments and he read from God's word and then everyone listened, they went home and did exactly as the pastor said, just as we do in the 21st century? That is not the book of Acts. The book of Acts is about these speeches that happen that are begun by hard questions that are asked of Peter and Paul. Hey, Peter, is it possible for Gentiles to be brought into the kingdom? And they struggle through this question. And throughout the church history, tough questions are asked and the church grew. That sort of thing. So where are you this day in your life? Let's put it out here and make it personal for you. When you ask questions regarding your faith and spirituality, is it a childlike questioning so that you can grow and stay connected to Jesus and learn more and grow as a five-year-old would? Or is it to set a trap, to make a point? Or are you at the point where you don't want to ask tough questions? That's a hard place to be. Well, friends, there's one thing, and there's a little bit of tough news here that I want to share with you about these tough questions. You know, sometimes Jesus doesn't answer the tough questions. Sometimes his answers aren't liked by the people that hear them. You know, I think about the time that Herod asked those questions of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verse 9. It says, question after question was given to Jesus. Do you know what it says about Jesus' response? He said, nothing. The Sadducees came to Jesus with a question about heaven. Hey, Jesus, who will I be married to in heaven? I've had seven wives. Which one of those am I going to be connected with? Jesus does not answer that question. He kind of goes off in another direction. Sometimes when we read the Bible, these tough questions, it's kind of like following Abbott and Costello. Do you remember that skit where Abbott says, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third? And Costello's asking all these questions and they're kind of bypassing. Sometimes when we read the Bible, there's some of that going on. I will 100% admit that. Tough questions are being asked. Sometimes there's a redirection and you're wondering, where is this going? You kind of feel like Abbott. Have you ever felt like that reading the Bible? Anybody? Yeah? Well, here's the thing. God sent his son Jesus not to answer our questions or to save us from our questions. He sent his son Jesus to save us from our sins. It's true. In our text from Luke chapter 13, The Pharisees and Sadducees and Herod have their questions, not from a childlike wondering and wanting to connect. And Jesus says this, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, oh that I could gather your children and bring them in and offer them salvation." Jesus relates here in Luke 13. It's a sense of determination that Jesus has. Determination to save people from their sins. You know, have you ever gone out on a trip? It's one thing to be determined on your trip, in which, or not determined, when the conditions, or when you are determined, because the conditions outside are excellent. The weather's beautiful like today, and your car has been gassed up and serviced, and you're right on schedule, and you have someone very fun to visit. Is that fun? Do you feel determined when that happens? Yeah, you want to take a trip. Now, what happens if the situation is different? You look outside and there's snow on the ground, and the traffic is terrible, and you're running late. Oftentimes, we're not determined to go out and make that journey. You know, when Jesus looked out in Luke chapter 13 and looked at Jerusalem, thought about Jerusalem, he didn't see good things. You know what he saw? I think he saw, the text says, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that has stoned the prophets and killed those who are sent." I think Jesus was thinking about the prophet Isaiah. We think he was sawed in two, the book of Hebrews says. Yeah, it's there. You know, Jesus was thinking about Jeremiah who was killed. Jesus was thinking ahead of going into that city of being arrested and betrayed by his closest disciples, of the bleeding and of the sweating of blood in the garden, of being put on the cross and dying. And you know what he showed? The path ahead was very dicey, and Jesus showed determination above all things to gather all people with the shedding of his blood on the cross to bring everyone under him and his love and grace. Determination. And that's what he shows us in the gift of baptism. You know what happened here this morning with Miles' baptism? We in the Lutheran Church, we believe in divine foreknowledge. It's kind of a that's a long discussion with a lot of tough questions, actually. Divine foreknowledge. God knows a little bit about what our path ahead looks like. I like to think, what I was thinking about Miles' baptism is that God was looking ahead in Miles' life, seeing what would come down the road. There are a lot of good things. Do you know what's coming down the road? He's going to be 6'5". He's going to play for Gonzaga. And then he's going to be a pastor. Did you know that, Alicia? Yeah. God perhaps saw some not so good things in Miles' life, some sins, some disobedience, some times where he might not have remembered God, some times in which he might not remember the promise God laid upon his heart. And you know what God says as he looks upon Miles and anyone who's been baptized? I'm determined to be by his side throughout his life. And when those moments come where Miles does forget God, it's going to happen. And when those times come when he does disobey, hopefully he doesn't disobey his parents too much. Please, no. But when those times happens, God still says, I'm determined to be by your side. Christianity is a different ballgame than other religions. Different. You can't compare them. Other religions say, God is someone who gives clear answers, but not so much determined to be by the side of people. Christianity says the opposite. Says, actually, sometimes God doesn't give answers in this life, or clear answers for everything. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But what God does do is shows a determination to be by our side no matter what. Is it possible for an adult to become like a child in the questions that they ask? For all of us? Yes. The Bible presents one. His name is Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He's described as the smartest person in Israel, the teacher of all the land. Check it out, John chapter 3. And he's used to people coming to him to offer questions, and he has to give back answers. But in this moment, you see, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And with a Claire-like voice, ask tough questions of Jesus. Now, in that moment in John 3, I don't know if Nicodemus got the answers that he wanted from Jesus. Probably some he didn't. But what I know is this, the Gospels are very clear. Nicodemus stayed by Jesus with the tough questions throughout his life. Will you do that with your tough questions? We all have them. Will you stay by Jesus' side? The reality of it is he will stay by your side no matter what. He is committed to you. Jesus is determined to be by your side. And that is the gift given in holy baptism. Amen.